But it's great to have everyone here. Good to see you folks. So let's just start with a quick word of prayer, and we'll go from there. Lord, having thank you for the day again. And thank you for, again, the opportunity of being together, Lord, fellowship. I will tell you for two or three days together, then you can also. Lord, thank you that you are here with us right now. I pray that you bless these next few minutes as we look at your words, just talk about some things in life, and probably just pray to bless the time. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Alright, so let me ask you a question. So some of you said it's your first time shooting. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Fish? Alright. Yes. Ready? Good?
Yes.
Ready to fall asleep soon, but it's okay. That's what this is for. No.
Amen, Pastor.
You're sitting next to him.
How many people out there, you guys said it's the first time shooting and doing different things? How many people hit the target at least once today? All right? A couple of you? How many of you just didn't stand a chance and had no ability? Anyone? No one's doing it. Well, I'm going to spend about the next 10 minutes talking about what it means to be on target. What it means to be on target, or rather, how to hit the target. Alright, so some of this is going to be instructional, so if you hunt, you might find it interesting. If you don't, you might find it interesting, you might not. That's okay. But it's really based on three different pieces. And some of it's instructional. I love teaching people how to shoot and do those different things. In Florida, we had a chance to do college and career class, and we taught dozens of young people how to shoot, whether skeet or bow or rifle. It was always a lot of fun. And what's fun now is I see them as they're adults, and they're still doing those things, right? You see the progression of what they did. But the first thing I just want to share, when it comes to shooting, and if you didn't know about this when you were out there, hopefully one of our helpers, and I appreciate all of our helpers, everyone who helped set up and who helped cook and who helped out there, and I really thank the Lord for so many people who did that. I won't name names because there's too many and I'll miss someone, but it was just a pleasure to have so many folks willing to help, but hopefully the helper's help gives some instruction. But one of the first things when it comes to shooting is what we're going to say is anchor. All right, these three pieces are all going to start with A, so you'll probably remember them. All right, but it's anchor. You've got to be anchored. Okay, if we're shooting a bow, and this is a compound bow, this used to be my bow, and then my son grew up and it's now his bow, and so it's been set up for him. So this is a compound bow. When you're shooting with a bow, or a rifle, or any kind of weapon, you've got to be anchored. And usually that means having your shoulder width apart, or your feet shoulder width apart, and you're just solid-footed, right? You're steady, right where it's at. And that's important because if you're drawing back on an animal or a target and you're not solid-footed, the arrow or the bullet or whatever can go anywhere. You know, I've seen some trick shooters and some of them do a very good job at it. They'll shoot behind their back and you know, kind of underneath and crazy stuff. But if you want to do it, if you want to shoot correctly, you want to do well, you've got to be anchored. You've got to have yourself just solid-footed because if you don't, you can throw off everything. When I was growing up, something I used to love to do, and I'll talk about it more in just a minute, is watch hunting videos, all right? I know we have a few hunters here. Does anyone watch hunting videos, or have you watched hunting videos? You know what I'm talking about? There's my family. That's okay, we'll still make the connection, okay? But even if you're a basketball player, I saw some guys out there playing basketball, or at least trying to. No, I'm just kidding. But if you're trying to, or they're playing ball, and, you know, you've got to have your feet set for that as well. And the Bible tells us something about being anchored, about being having a firm foundation. That's the theme we have this year of your Bible Baptist. But Ephesians says this. It says, and to build upon the foundation, the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And 1 Corinthians says, for other foundation can no man lay than his Lord Jesus Christ. As a Christian or as a person in life, we've got to be anchored to other things. Sometimes we're anchored to the things of the world. Sometimes we feel like our family is our anchor and we're our foundation. And what we've got to understand is that Jesus is who needs to be our anchor. He's got to be our foundation, which we build our life upon. And if we miss this, then we have sporadicness, right? We have instability. Just like if I was trying to shoot this and I was trying to do it one-footed, I can't even stand one-footed anymore, but my shot would be off. There's no foundation there. And that's what it is. When people try to live their life without Christ as the foundation stone. And it can be so harsh and so dangerous. And so the foundation is the first element in shooting is so important. The second one, you guys guess what the second one is? She cheated. She looked at my notes. No, she probably didn't. If anyone was going to, it would be her. There's a saying, and it goes back a while. It says, if you aim at nothing, you'll what? Hit it every time. You know? Now, I saw some of you guys out there shooting, especially with the airsoft, and you had kind of the spray and pray mentality, right? Doing that in, just kind of shoot a whole bunch and hope you hit something. And I saw some over there with the arrows, and they kind of had the wing it or fling it mentality, right? Just kind of pull back and see where it hits. And when you think about it, you've got to aim. Aiming is that there's a couple different pieces to it, and this is a compound bow, like I said. It's got sights on the front. That's what these are for. And then there's also what they call instinctive shooting, which is what the bows out there were doing, where you don't really aim with sights. You just kind of focus on it. And whatever you focus on is where you're going to hit. And then there's also what they call a scope, right? A scope, and we've seen them on movies or TV or somewhere you've seen a scope. And what's in the middle of a scope when you look at it? Crosshairs, right? And literally, it makes a cross. And wherever you put where that cross meets and wherever you're aiming at is where it will hit. Something that a lot of people mess up on. I did this my very first time. I was 12 years old, and it was my first deer season, and we had 5 deer walk out in front, and I put my gun up with my scope, and I was young, didn't know this, and my dad didn't have a lot of experience either, but as I had it, I had a deer in my scope, and I shot. All right, we got a deer. You go down, and there's no blood. It was a clean miss. Well, what I didn't realize was, the deer was in my scope, in my field of vision, but my focus wasn't on the crosshairs. No. Just because the deer was in the scope doesn't mean that I was aiming at the deer. Right? And sometimes we do that in life. Sometimes we miss what we're supposed to focus on. Something that's a common adage when it comes to shooting is aim small, miss small. Right? And we learn this, and if you don't like the hunt, that's okay. We're going to apply it somewhere else here in a moment. But, you know, if I'm shooting at a deer or a boar or a bear, I'm not aiming for the animal. I'm not aiming for the kill zone, if you will. I'm not aiming for the heart. Rather, you're told to aim for a hair. You pick out one hair where you want to shoot. You say, that sounds ridiculous, Pastor. Well, it's aiming small, because then if you miss by a little, guess what? It's still a clean, ethical shot. And you've got to focus right where that hair is. You've got to focus right where it's important, because if you don't, you can miss the opportunity. You can miss the animal that you're shooting at. Philippians 3:14 says, I press for the mark, for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul aimed for the mark. He had something he aimed for in life. His goal in life was to be more like Christ. When he aimed his life, he did it specifically. He was focused on something bigger than himself, but something that was so important for his life. He aimed for the mark. He understood that mentality of, you've got to aim specifically in life for targets. There's things in life that we try to aim ourselves towards and we have goals for, and sometimes it's jobs, and sometimes it's money or houses or cars or other things, and sometimes we need a portion of that in life. But folks, we've got to understand that what we need to shoot for, the mark we need to aim for, is just as Paul has to be more like Christ. Alright, so we talked about being anchored, we talked about the importance of aiming, and aiming specifically, and being focused on our target, and focused on those cross arrows, just like the cross arrows in a scope, what meets in the middle, and really the cross of Jesus Christ is the same, isn't it? We need to aim, we need to focus towards the cross of Christ. And there's the third aspect, or the third piece of it, and this is one that always frustrated me. Now, I shared with you, we used to watch hunting videos, and I'll age myself a little bit. We had those things called VCRs, right? Kids, you don't know what those are, that's okay. You know, DVDs are. But this goes back in the time. You see, when I grew up, we didn't even have a VCR in the house yet. They were too expensive. But you could go on a special occasion. Usually the only two times we would do this is if we were either sick or there was a snow day. Alright? And if we're lucky, Dad would take us out. We'd pray, Lord, let there be a VCR that we can rent. You know, you could go and you'd rent the VCR itself and then the VHS tapes. And we would rent hunting videos. And the quality was horrible. I mean, you got motion sick watching it. They're all over the place. And it was horrible. It was horrible. But we used to love it. One of the things that used to frustrate me so much, if you ever watch these, you understand, is they would have a deer or an animal or whatever come out, and they would just wait, and they would wait, and they would wait. And I would yell at the TV, and shoot! Right? Shoot them already! Throw them nuts! And I would be so frustrated. And whenever the animal would be then out of range, and they would say, oh, I missed my opportunity. Right? I missed the shot. I didn't take the shot when I should have. So the third piece, and we have anger, we have aim, and the third piece is action. You can have, and this is not one of them, but you can have a weapon that would cost thousands of dollars. This is not one, all right? But you can have a weapon that would cost thousands of dollars. You can practice and you can be an expert at it, but if you don't ever take the action, you'll never accomplish the goal. Amen. You see, if you always have it up there and you're drawn back and you're aimed and you're ready, but you don't release the arrow, and it's always going to be a missed opportunity. And watching those videos, I'd be so frustrated. I'd yell at it. I'd talk about it. It'd be frustrating. You know, in life, we can probably all think of some opportunity we've missed, can't we? Right? Something where we feel like we should have done something, or we should have taken a step, or we should have taken action towards something. For whatever reason, we didn't. And we think, man, that was a missed opportunity. Well, we can live and we can die by some of those, and they can drive us nuts. But folks, I'll tell you this tonight. The most important thing that any of us can do, the one opportunity that if it's missed in life is the greatest miss that could ever happen, and that is whether or not we choose to walk in obedience to Christ. It's a matter of we take the choice of accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Romans 3:23 tells us, it says, for the wages of sin is death. Or excuse me, for all have sinned. I got it mixed up. No one caught me on that. Got to sleep. Not one purpose. Wait till tomorrow morning. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That we're all sinners, folks. Every single one of us. A sin is anything that we've done contrary to the word or the will of God. And the Bible says everyone's done. I promise you I have done. You can ask my family. Don't ask them. They'll tell you. Right? But I'm a sinner. Why? Because the Bible says for all have sinned. And because of that sin, we fall short of God's glory. We fall short of being able to go to heaven. Now, Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. In other words, because of our sin, and it doesn't matter. We can say, oh, we're a good person. Well, if you committed one sin, that's enough. That's the wages of sin. That's enough to keep us out of heaven. And because of that sin, we not only were kept out of heaven, we deserve to die, not just physically, but spiritually. We deserve the wages of sin, death, a spiritual death. That means that when we die, we deserve to go to hell. I've said this several times. Some of you have heard me say this already a couple times. That if the Bible stopped there, that verse stopped there, I wouldn't be standing here tonight. Right? Why? Because there'd be no hope. But that verse doesn't stop there. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, onto this earth to live a sinless and perfect life. He gave His Son a perfect gift. Why? So that we might be saved. What did Jesus do? He lived that sinless and perfect life, but ultimately, He died, He gave His life, and was sacrificed upon the cross of Calvary. His blood was shed for me and for you. And because of that, and then he rose again the third day. And because of that, we can be saved. Romans goes on to say, thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. That tells us very simply, folks, that if we believe and we confess who Jesus is, we confess our sins, he's faithful and just forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that if we confess that and we confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, we will be saved.
Amen.
Folks, that's the greatest opportunity that I would challenge everyone here tonight to never miss. You say, Pastor, I'm such a bad person. I've done so much. I've had people tell me I can't come to church. If I came to church, the roof would fall on my head. You know? They believe that their life is just so far gone. Well, the Romans goes on to say this last verse, and it goes on to say this. It says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, it doesn't matter your background, because a sin is a sin is a sin, and it just doesn't matter. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Folks, I'm going to ask this, and we're going to close here in just a minute for this portion, and then we'll finish out a few things. But folks, the biggest opportunity in life is the one you make with this decision. I'll ask this question to preface it, and I just want you to think about it. It's this person between you and the Lord. And no one likes to think about this, but if you were to die today, you know for sure where you'd spend eternity. And you might say, what are you talking about? I don't get it. Right? Well, if you say, I don't know, you need to know. You need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt where we spend eternity. The only way we can know that, the only way we can do that, is by doing what Romans just told us. Confessing with our mouth and believing in our heart the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
When we think about it, we have the anchor, and we've got to be anchored in Jesus Christ. We've got to have our aim. We've got to have it on the mark. We've got to be focused on the things that matter in life, and then we have to take action. There's so many people in life that take no action. They just sit back, and they put it in cruise control, and just kind of go through life. Folks, the biggest and most important action we've got to take in life is accepting Christ and making that decision for Him. Why? Because of the prize. Why? Because of the trophy, if you will. If you look around the room, there's some trophies here. And if you're an avid hunter, they may not look like much of a trophy, but they're trophies. You know, this over here was the first buck I ever shot. It's not the biggest in the world by far. It's not the biggest in the room by far. But it means something to me. Right? Those trophies, they're important, but at the same time, it's just earthly. The Bible tells us it'll go away. It's not going to last forever. But you see, the ultimate trophy is salvation. The ultimate trophy, if we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we do that, is knowing for sure that when we die, when these earthly bodies fade away, that we'll spend eternity in heaven with Jesus. Folks, I'm going to just encourage you tonight to think about that, pray about that. And we're going to close in just a moment with a word of prayer, and then we'll go on to giveaways and a few other things tonight. But that's my biggest challenge for all of us. You see, you can be an avid hunter, you can be great at it, but if you never release the arrow, you're never going to get that trophy. If we never make the decision for Jesus Christ, we're doomed, we're destined to not spend time in heaven, but rather in hell. It's the most important decision anyone can make. Let's just pray together here a little bit. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for the time. Lord, I thank you for these folks and their patience and their desire to be here tonight. Father, I pray that there be one here tonight that doesn't know for sure where they would spend eternity, that before they leave this place, they would make that decision for you.